Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good evening, Wichita. Welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Happy to have you with us this evening here at your local liberal resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. Thrilled to have you with us this evening. Studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. And, of course, you can reach me via email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. I'd love to hear from you. Great show planned tonight. Elizabeth Patton from AFP is going to be with us. Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice will be here. Dan Murray from the National Federation of Independent Business will be with us. And Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter will bring us our Under the Dome update. And I'm moving rapidly through this because I got to be honest with you. I've been behaving myself. I'm in withdrawal because last Sunday I ran a best of show because I had to get up the following morning at 1:45 in the morning because Ted was off. So I had to solo the morning show. They actually trusted me, Phil, to run the morning show twice this week.
They gave you the keys to the Ferrari.
They gave me the keys to the car. I didn't blow up the studio. So, by the way, I'm loving the morning show. I'm having a blast. But they actually let me. It's a lot harder because there's a lot of news. And I have to behave myself. On Sunday nights, I don't have to behave myself.
Look out. He's off the leash.
Yes. And I'm off. And I am pissed off. I didn't get to come on here and talk about the election results. I've had to behave myself and bide my time and bite my tongue for over a week. So Katie, bar the door, folks.
Here we go.
Here we go. So, yeah, we got a show tonight. Yeah, we're going to have some guests. But to hell with it. Let's slip the dogs of war, baby, because I'm done behaving. I am done. And I am pissed off at the city council, and I am pissed off at the school board, and I am freaking tired of it. Oh, and by the way, you know the little button that you have over here with the 8-second delay?
Yeah.
You might want to be ready tonight. Okay. I'm that kind of pissed off. Mm. By the way, folks, the 8-second delay is what we have to have our finger on in case somebody cusses. And tonight, Phil better have his finger on the button because I'm that kind of mad. 82% of the city of Wichita told the city council they didn't want a tax increase. They told them to be fiscally disciplined. And on the same freaking day, they spent a crap load of money on wasted products. And, you know, sometimes government doesn't just ignore the voters. Sometimes it flat out insults them. And that's what the local governments in Sedgwick County have been doing. That's exactly what's happening right now in Wichita. You are being ignored. Because if you thought the message voters have sent over the past year was loud enough, apparently City Hall and the pencil-necked bureaucrats over at USD 259 must have had their fingers in their ears and their heads up there. Well, you know what I mean. Let's start at USD 259. Wichita Public Schools are already floating the idea of another $500 million bond in November of this year. Another one, millions of dollars in property tax increases just in time for Christmas. The proverbial $500 million coal in your stocking. Don't voters, didn't they just reject the last one? I mean, seriously, how short is the memory over at USD 259? There's an old saying, you've heard it before, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And we know 30% of USD 259 students can't spell insanity. Apparently, district leaders can't define it either. But apparently, at the Wichita School District, that's not insanity. That's the strategic plan. Because voters said no, but they just don't give a crap. See, Phil, you got to keep your finger on that button because I almost said one right there. And the response from the education bureaucracy isn't reflection. It isn't reform. It isn't accountability. It's, let's just try the crap all over again. Here's the part that really drives taxpayers crazy. Enrollment at USD 259 is down 3%. Fewer students, but they still want more money. Student achievement also declining. So let's get this straight. Fewer students, worse outcomes, and the solution from the school board is more money. Raise taxes again. That's not accountability. That's arrogance. Taxpayers didn't say no because they hate education, because they hate teachers. They said no because they want results. They want classrooms that work. They want literacy rates improving. They want math scores rising. They want transparency about where the money's actually going. Instead, what they get is the same tired formula government always uses. Spend more, ask for more, and screw the voters. But it's not just the school district. Because over at City Hall, the spending spree never seems to end either. Let me remind you what Wichita voters just did, just days ago. Nearly 82% of voters rejected a 1% sales tax. 82% said hell no to a $1 billion sales tax. That's not a close election. It's a landslide. It's a butt whooping. That's voters grabbing the political establishment by the you know what and shouting enough. The people of Wichita looked at an $850 million tax increase and said exactly what many of you have been saying for years. Too big, too rushed, too vague, too irresponsible. But instead of learning from that vote, Councilmember Joseph Shepard is already floating the idea of another sales tax increase. Are you kidding me? The voters didn't whisper their answer. They shouted it. Yet government keeps acting as if they wait long enough, taxpayers will just forget it. But here's the real issue. This isn't just about one tax vote. It's about trust. Right now, taxpayers don't trust City Hall with their money. And frankly, I don't blame them. Because while we're told budgets are tight, while we're told taxpayers have to go up and give up, while we're told to shut up, there's not enough money for priorities, the city council somehow found $600,000 for an LED archway for the First Street Bridge. $600,000 for decorative lighting designed by an art studio in, wait for it, California. City Hall says money is tight, but apparently there's always money for shiny projects and vanity spending. They found money for a 4.5-foot-tall bronze statue of stacked vintage suitcases worth $15,000 and $200,000 worth of other art pieces, 35% of which are for out-of-state artists. Did you get that? A 4.5-foot-tall bronze statue of stacked vintage suitcases worth $15,000 and $200,000 worth of art, 35% from out-of-state artists. But instead of investing in our own creative community, City Hall sends taxpayer money to California. You can't make this crap up. And I'm not against public art. Public spaces can be beautiful. But when government starts lecturing taxpayers about how broke the city is, when we have mold and fire stations, maybe, just maybe, decorative light sculptures on bronze suitcases shouldn't be at the top of the priority list. Maybe we shouldn't spend $600,000 on an out-of-state bridge design. Maybe we should spend that where it belongs. And it doesn't stop there. The Wichita Police Department is asking the city council for $650,000 to buy two robotic dogs. Let me be clear. I back the blue. Our police officers deserve the best tools available. They deserve safety. They deserve support. But taxpayers still deserve answers. Because $650,000 is a lot of money. Heck, you could buy two porta potties for that. We just did. This kind of funding could help recruit officers, retain experienced officers, strengthen community policing. Instead, we're buying robot police dogs and beautiful light up archways to cross a bridge. Priorities matter, folks. When taxpayers look at the entire picture, the sculptures, the gadgets, the dogs, the art, the bronze statues, they start asking a very simple question. Where's the discipline? Where's the accountability? Where's the respect for the people who actually make the money to pay the bills? Because right now it looks like a pattern. Taxpayers say no. Government tries again. Taxpayers reject a bond. Government floats another one. Taxpayers reject a sales tax. Government start talking about the next one. Meanwhile, the spending never stops. Not for sculptures. Seriously, a stack of bronze luggage? Maybe we should let them use the suitcases to send some of these members packing. Voters are tired of pet projects. $720,000 for out-of-state art. $650,000 for robot police dogs. Crap like this is exactly why voters are frustrated. Speaking of crap, need I remind you of the $600,000 porta-potties? And they wonder why trust in government is collapsing. Because time and time again, the message from taxpayers is ignored. And the message from City Hall seems to be, we know better than you. Well, guess what? You don't. And if you want voters to trust you again, here's a radical idea. Start by proving you can manage the money you already have. Focus on results, focus on core services, and focus on education outcomes if you're a school. Cut the waste and stop the vanity projects. Show taxpayers you respect their vote and you respect them. Because right now, Wichita voters are sending a message that couldn't be clearer. Enough with the spending sprees, enough with the tax hikes, and enough with ignoring the will of the people. If government wants trust again, it's time to start acting like responsible stewards of taxpayer dollars. Because the people of Wichita are tired. Tired of the waste, tired of being ignored, and tired of the ignorance. And if City Hall and the school district don't start listening soon, they shouldn't be surprised when voters start telling them to pack their bronze suitcases. We'll take a quick break, and then Elizabeth Patton from Americans for Prosperity will tell us about their new campaign to rally Americans and lawmakers around policies that will deliver lower costs for every American. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Folks, right now, nine elected people, the majority of whom are attorneys, pick whomever they want for our Supreme Court. I, for one, think Kansans deserve a voice in judicial selection. Voters, not lawyers, should decide. If you agree or want more information, you can visit takebackthebench.com to get more information. And of course, while you're at it, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, the folks at Americans for Prosperity are launching a significant nationwide grassroots and advertising campaign to rally Americans and lawmakers around policies that hopefully will deliver lower costs, more prosperity, and a stronger economy for everyone. Their affordability agenda identifies some specific reforms in four key areas that would provide immediate relief for American families. With us now to tell us a little bit more about the campaign is Elizabeth Patton from AFP Kansas. Elizabeth, thank you for joining us. Pleasure to have you on the show again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's always nice to be on.
So there are four key areas: energy, housing, healthcare, and regulatory policy. And I think when you look at it, the cost of living seems to dominate you know, voter priorities. And I know the D's have been going around making affordability their, you know, their key. But if that's affordability is not a left or right issue, it's a universal issue.
It really is. And what we're hoping to do with this is help lawmakers, both on the federal level and on the state level, focus on these cost of living policies that are going to make real tangible impacts to lower costs for every American family. And we all know, you're right, it's not a right or a left issue. 72% of voters agree that the affordability crisis is a result of a system itself that's become slower and more expensive. So regulations, energy, housing, healthcare, all of that has a lot of government barriers that are not necessary or policy pieces that are outdated, and by surprisingly just a few tweaks in some key areas, both on the federal level and the state level, costs are even proven in other states to be coming down, and we can achieve that if lawmakers will focus on some priority legislation.
Well, I think you're right, and you're right, it's not a right or left issue. I would say, I mean, I've seen polling that shows at least 4 in 10, you know, 37-38% of voters say that it's their number one issue. But the one primary difference is the way we go about it. I think Democrats view this as a government is the solution. And in my opinion, I think government is makes things harder, not easier. The best thing is for them to get out of the way.
Exactly. And, you know, you see in Virginia, the left had a successful election in Virginia, and they campaigned on an affordability agenda, and they immediately started raising taxes and increasing government control. And it's like, that's not how we achieve affordability at all. We need to focus on things like we have a bill here in Kansas to lower the cost of housing, and it focuses on being able to increase the supply and lower some regulatory burdens, and the fiscal note is zero. That's the kind of policy that we need to see that will unleash the opportunity and lower costs for everybody. So we're really excited about that, both on the state level and the federal level. And so we're asking Congress and state lawmakers to focus. That's really what it's about. Focus on the policies that matter. We see it on all levels. They get distracted by a lot of other things. We're seeing it here in Topeka, even this session. They're doing a great job in a lot of areas, but we're seeing lots of other legislation that, you know, increases government control, get a lot of attention. And I wish they would focus on the things that are going to lower cost for Kansans and do the policies that will really matter in their everyday lives.
Well, like you said, priorities. I mean, just in my monologue, I talked about, you know, the $700,000 that the city of Wichita is spending on out-of-state art right after getting 82% of voters to tell them not to raise sales taxes and be more fiscally disciplined. And they're dropping $600,000 on an archway from an artist in Los Angeles. You know, there's a disconnect. Right. And it was a unanimous vote.
I know. And there's a huge disconnect. And I really wish that elected officials would hear the American people on this. And I'll tell you, a lot of people are busy, and it's difficult for people to take the time out, or they feel intimidated by reaching out to their lawmakers. They don't know how to do that. And AFP, we would love to help you take your first step to get involved and have your voice heard. But that's also what we do. We speak for people to make sure we've got limited government, lower spending, lower taxes, and helping everyone achieve their American dream and getting government out of the way to be able to do that. But the majority of Americans, like I said, 72% of Americans agree on these things we're focusing on. And yet I think there's an echo chamber that's for some reason not getting through to a lot of elected officials. And we're trying to break through that. It really matters.
You mentioned that you're focusing on energy, housing, healthcare, and regulatory policy. These are the key areas. But you just mentioned there right there that you're trying to help folks to connect with their, you know, their state representatives, their federal delegates. If folks are having a hard time doing that, what's the best way for them to reach out to you, to connect with you and help them to do that?
Yeah, reach out to us on any of our social media platforms, or you can go to the website, AmericansForProsperity.org and toggle to the Kansas website or SunflowerStateSolutions.com. You can reach out to us on any of those, and we will be happy to connect you and help you get involved. But really, any way, reach out, message us on social media. We would love to connect with you. And, you know, we've got fights every day. You know, we're trying to push this proactive agenda, and yet we're also at the same time trying to block threats where, you know, the state government is looking at trying to make everybody have a digital ID and things like that are scary and not helpful. And so we're trying to make sure we don't go down that road and instead are focused on things like the affordability agenda.
Now, we're talking with Elizabeth Patton from Americans for Prosperity. With the digital ID, is that referencing what bill are you referring to there? Is that the app act?
That's SB 372, and that's a scary bill. It has a lot of concerns that, especially if you're a Second Amendment lover or a free speech lover or a parent who doesn't want the government to have all of that information about their kids or hackers to get your digital ID, there are some changes that bill needs in order for that to be something that is not, frankly, terrifying.
This is the app. Just to make sure, this is the App Store Accountability Act, correct?
Yep, that's correct.
See, this is fascinating because coming up at 8 o'clock, I've got Brittany Jones from the Kansas Family Voice coming on, advocating in favor of the App Store Accountability Act. So this is why I love this show, is because I've got two of my best friends. Now advocating. I've got one who opposed to it, and now at the 8 o'clock hour, I'll have someone who's advocating in favor of the same piece of legislation.
And that's why we can all be friends and have civil discourse and fight for the policies we believe in. But at the end of the day, we're still all good friends. But no, the broad scope of that bill and the mandated surveillance, it is really concerning to us. We think it's really more of a liability transfer than anything. And instead of protecting children, it's making everybody have this digital ID. It is not a road I think we should go down lightly. And there are some major changes I think that bill needs before it's not something that we should all be a little alarmed about before we hand over that information to the internet.
Fascinating. Well, I look forward to talking with Brittany here coming up at 8 o'clock. You guys also have another day of action coming up this weekend. I know my wife and I'll be out door knocking. If folks are interested, again, that's AmericansForProsperity.org, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Elizabeth, thank you again for joining us this evening. And again, if folks are interested, this new campaign is if they want information, it's called the Affordability Agenda, and they can find information about that as well, correct?
They can. And go to removebarriers.com and read more about that. That has a lot on the federal pieces we're working on, and get some more information in each of those areas. I'll actually be heading to D.C. next week to lobby on that for our federal delegation and talk about those pieces of legislation. And then, of course, Sunflower State Solutions or any of our social media accounts, if you want to reach out and get involved here, we'd love to help you make your voice heard and protect your freedom, liberty, and individual rights. And we're happy to help.
removebarriers.com. I appreciate it. Elizabeth, thank you again for joining us. Always a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Coming up, Blake Carpenter, our speaker pro tem, will bring us this week's Under the Dome update from Topeka. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And, of course, you can always find us on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And when you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. So Tuesday, the 17th, is the final day for regular committee meetings up in Topeka. That means every committee is working through their list of priority bills before they reach the deadline. It means that, you know, if it's not out of committee on Tuesday, it ain't going to happen this year. They'll have to wait till next year. And as we do every Sunday, during the legislative session, we like to bring you a live update from Topeka. With us now with our Under the Dome update is the Speaker Pro Tem, Representative Blake Carpenter. Representative, thank you for joining us. Pleasure to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on.
So after Tuesday, both the House and Senate will then spend the next three full days on the floor voting on bills. I've been through that. Those are long days. You eat a lot of snacks and, you know, spend a lot of time listening to Democrats pontificate. The following week.
Okay, John, because the paintings on the ceiling are very beautiful.
Oh, yeah, yes. I still remember the day that John Carmichael went down and you know, talked about the nude bodies on the ceiling. You know, remember that?
I do. And yes. Needless to say, I do also remember the fourth grade class having to be ushered out of the gallery rather quickly.
Yes, there's a group of fourth graders in the gallery, and he's talking about, it's John Carmichael for you. The following week, then, you guys will be working out differences as a conference committees, and then, of course, you get first adjournment on March 27th. So that's kind of the overall calendar. But there's a lot to do before that. You just heard, ironically, we just heard literally what sausage making is like in Topeka right here on this show, because you're sandwiched between AFP.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yes, my last guest and Elizabeth, who said, you know, the App Act is a bad bill. And my next guest at the top of the hour, Brittany Jones from Americans Kansas Family Voice, who say the App Act is a good bill. And that is one of the bills that is stuck in committee. So this is the App Accountability Act. Fed and State, one of the committees that you and I both served on. What do you think is going to, I mean, give us a quick 30-second what that bill is and what you think happens now.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. So I think what you're seeing is what lawmakers tend to hear every single day.
Yeah,
whenever
sure.
We're up in Topeka. You know, you have both what I would consider friendly right-leaning groups, whether it's Americans for Prosperity or the Kansas Family Voice group, but they disagree on this issue. And so that's when it starts, I would say, getting a little bit more complicated on the issue and then starting to have to really get into what the language actually says and what the language is actually going to do. Now, ultimately, if that bill doesn't come out of committee on either Monday or Tuesday this week, then it's done for the year and it has to come back and start life all over again in the next session.
And this is it's an interesting one. From what I understand, this is the basically says that kids downloading apps on their phones would have to get parental consent is the gist of it, correct?
That's the gist of it. And also basically making it to where it's age appropriate content, essentially. So if you have like an app that's targeted to a 4-year old or a 5-year old, well, I would argue that 4-year olds or 5-year olds shouldn't be on their parents' apps anyway, but that's right. A different debate. So if that's the case and they're playing on this app that's made for 4-year olds, then they shouldn't be getting content that, you know, is ads for gambling or
Grindr
other,
or something.
other issues that are also being pushed out there onto the app as well, and other mature content.
And I get that, and I'm sure that's what, you know, Brittany will tell us. But you heard AFP's concerns. They're a free market. They're pro-business. I'm sure the chamber is going to have the same concerns. So this is a perfect example of what a legislator has to go through. You know, they've got the pro-family values. They've got the parental consent folks going to argue in one ear. And then they've got the free market, libertarian folks who are going to be arguing in the other ear. And now they're going to be pulled, and constituents on both sides. You know, this is a great example of what legislators have to go through.
Yeah, yeah. And this is one that, you know, I haven't heard too much about it just yet, but I'm sure as we start potentially working it here in the next week or two, because quite frankly, it hasn't made it to the floor yet. So constituents really haven't engaged because it's still in a committee, right?
Right.
So, and then once these organizations, if it does come out of committee, then all these organizations start telling all of their people on their side to start contacting their legislators. And then that's when we start really hearing from the constituents before it comes up for a vote.
So let's talk about another big issue, efforts to ease the public angst over property taxes collapsed last Thursday. One bill failed in the House. The other was passed over in the Senate. Basically, they didn't think they had the votes to pass it, so they didn't take it up, essentially. So, you know, once again, it seems like property taxes right now, you know, it's like, are we going to get any property tax relief? What do you think?
Well, I appreciate the question, John. And here's what people need to understand. Property taxes are really levied by local government.
Oh, absolutely.
There's very, very little that the state can do other than coming in and mandating different things on top of local governments and how local governments are essentially going to function.
Which then pisses off the local governments, by the way.
And it does, because, I mean, we hate it when Washington, D.C. does it to us. And then, you know, it's the exact same reaction when Topeka does it to, say, a city or a county, right? So, I mean, it is nobody likes it when it rolls downhill, right? But at the same time, you have entities at the local level that are not being responsible with their budgets. And that is
you mean like $720,000 for art to out of state artists?
You know, yes. And so that is really where it boils down to. Now, that being said, the state does control 20 mills, and that 20 mills doesn't touch our coffers up in Topeka. It doesn't. There's not a single dollar that goes into the treasury that we spend. What it does is it brings it up there, it's pooled, and then it's redistributed for K-12 education. And so that's about the only thing we can do when it comes to property taxes. And there's a lot of debate right now, and I think you could potentially see something come out here in the next 2 weeks that lowers that mill rate from 20 down to something else. Now, the thing is, though, is that by us lowering it, all we are doing is essentially paying it off with either income taxes or sales taxes, because those are the only two types of taxes that the state of Kansas actually collects.
Right.
And so right now we're at about a $600 million budget hole, right? So we have to cut spending. But then if we start eliminating taxes, property taxes specifically, then we're digging that hole deeper. So we have to really start going after the spending at the state level and really start watching our pennies and dollars. Now, we're fine for a few years here. We can, you know, kind of spin the balance down a little bit because we do have extra. However, by 2029, the state of Kansas is going to have to either do major cuts or they're going to have to increase taxes in 2029.
Well, you know me, I'm all for major cuts. Blake, I'm up on a break. I've got a couple things I want to cover with you. Do you mind if I hold you through the break?
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back and continue our conversation with the Speaker Pro Tem, and we'll take your calls. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Folks, 9 unelected people, the majority of whom are attorneys, pick basically whomever they want for our Supreme Court. I personally think Kansans deserve a voice in that judicial selection process. Voters, not lawyers, should decide. If you agree or you want more information, you can visit takebackthebench.com for more information. And of course, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Speaking of that, there are a couple of events coming up. I want to remind you about the Sedgwick County Republican Party is holding their monthly meeting this Thursday night at 6:30. The guest is a Zoom speaker, Kelly Walker. He's the founder of Freedom Talk. And the meeting starts at 6:30. Meet and greet at 6:30. The meeting starts at 7 at the Wichita Area Builders Association. And then coming up next Thursday, the 26th, is the Republican Red Chocolate and Wine Fundraiser. It's a really cool event. Yummy. Wine and chocolate. Nothing better than that. You can find out information on both of those events on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. So a couple of really cool events. With us still is the Speaker Pro Tem, Blake Carpenter. Blake, thank you for sticking around through the break. Appreciate that.
Absolutely.
You guys passed a couple of bills this week. One was the bell-to-bell cell phone ban, and it sounds like the governor is inclined to sign that. Have you heard any indication that she won't?
No. As a matter of fact, I do believe she will end up signing the legislation. It is something that early in the session she indicated that she would support should it make it to her desk. So I fully expect her to likely sign the legislation, especially there was a lot of House Democrats that voted no, but I believe that there were some more Senate Democrats that ended up voting supporting in favor of it.
Now, one of the issues that I know it looks like you guys have taken up that I'm sure she will not be a fan of is the higher ed restructuring proposal. I actually thought this was a good idea. I think there's areas within higher ed that, especially when you look at some of their wasteful spending, that you guys should be taking a better look at. This seemed like something I think we're finally looking at ways to get some fiscal discipline injected into our higher ed system. Not something the governor's likely to be fond of, though.
Actually, no, I don't know. I think her office has been working with the bill authors on this.
Really?
So I think that she might actually end up being inclined to support it at the end of the day. But this, the legislation you're referring to was just introduced this last week, so it has a long way to go still. It's still in the very early stages, and so we'll have to see what kind of pushback there is just from all the people that are either out there that have an interest or that want to weigh in on this issue. So I think that it's gonna have to be a pretty quick 2 weeks for that bill to turn around in time.
Speaking of pretty quick 2 weeks, what's coming up here? I mean, obviously, you're going to have a few days where you're just stuck on the floor. But what can be, if folks are interested, if they want to, you know, keep an eye on what bills you think are coming up? You've only got 2 days of committees left. What should people keep an eye out for?
Well, there's something that's near and dear to my heart, John, and that's always been the Second Amendment and making sure that we're protecting Second Amendment rights for Kansans. And so, as you know, and maybe some of your listeners know, I'm the vice president of the Kansas State Rifle Association,
right,
which is the sister or the state affiliate, essentially, to the NRA. Now, there is something that is coming through the process. It's House Bill 2501, and it was amended in the Senate this past week. And there's a big reason why. So last year, when they passed the big, beautiful bill at the national level, what they ended up doing in that act included a provision that eliminated the $200 federal transfer tax on suppressors and short-barreled firearms. That is now paving the way for litigation that's challenging the constitutionality of the federal tax registration regime without the tax. And so because that's the case, our state statutes need to be amended. If the courts come in and strike that down because it's no longer a tax because one does not exist, basically what it boils down to is if we don't get a portion of our statute updated to essentially reflect that change, then it ends up creating an issue to – it's like a prerequisite to possession. So if we don't eliminate that out of our statute, then it creates a lot of problems with people trying to purchase suppressors or even people who have short barrel firearms or suppressors legally in the state of Kansas. And so we want to make sure that we clean that up. The Senate should hopefully be taking that up sometime in the next week or two, and then the House following on.
But of course, you know that the left will just go absolutely crazy and try and hang every amendment they can on it, Because, you know, that's what they do.
We'll see. In other states, it actually passed unanimously, with even with the left, because it's a common sense update. I know that can seem pretty difficult these days, but there are Democrats that see the issue that is causing their constituents, and they're voting in favor of it in order to keep them out of trouble. So I think that there could be some Democrats that do cross over on this. And we'll have to wait and see what Laura Kelly does at the end of the day.
Wow. Good luck. I that's okay. I hope you're right. I hope you're right. Well, I appreciate you joining us, Blake, as always. And if folks want to connect with you, if they want to subscribe to your newsletter, if they want to stay in touch, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can do it all from my website, John. It's www.carpenterforkansas.com, and that's all spelled out.
Carpenterforkansas.com. And Blake, I've been there on those 3 days, those marathon sessions. Make sure you bring some snacks, buddy.
Will do. Thanks, John. I appreciate your time this evening.
All right, brother. Have a good what's left of your Sunday evening. Thank you for joining us. We'll take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll take the other half of that discussion about the App Store Accountability Act. That's Senate Bill 372, which would require honest age ratings from app developers and require parental approval before minors download apps, with Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We are always here for you. Let's try and keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles by texting AM to 39179, and tell Congress to keep AM radio in vehicles. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. The Kansas App Store Accountability Act, Senate Bill 372, passed by the Senate back in February, requires app stores to verify user ages and mandates verifiable parental consent for minors under the age of 18 in order to download apps or make purchases. If it's passed by the House, it would be effective January 1st of next year, and mandates linked parent-child accounts to boost digital safety. The bill right now is held up in the Kansas House Federal and State Affairs Committee. I actually served on that committee when I was in the House. It's held up right now. There's only 2 days of hearings left available for that House committee to take up the bill. And with us now to tell us exactly where it stands is Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice. Brittany, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you with us again.
Thanks so much for having me, John.
This is, it's an important bill, and what it would do basically is kind of, if I described it correctly, it would just say that these app stores, Apple, Google, the others, would verify the age of users upon registration, basically forcing developers to implement some sort of age-appropriate restrictions, correct?
Yeah, it ensures that the apps are rated appropriately, and parents have access to non-misleading understandings of what are actually in the apps, giving them the tools to decide whether that app is appropriate for their child or not. Because right now, we know the descriptions of apps are misleading. We know that parents are, they're doing their best, but parental controls are not enough for most parents. And Google's even teaching children how to turn off the parental controls when they turn 13, which is when parents most need to be in charge of what children are being exposed to. It's a very much a needed bill, and it is supported by 180 child advocacy organizations. It's something we've been working on as a movement for decades, it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone that we're pushing this bill.
Well, and if account then belongs to a minor, parents or guardians would then have to actively consent to downloads and in-app purchases
based on information provided about the app's age, rating, and data practices, correct?
That's correct. It's all about protecting kids' data. It's all about giving parents control over what their children are seeing. It is not a mandate from the state of what a child can or cannot see. It's all about giving parents those tools and holding these big tech giants accountable for what they're exposing children to.
So, Brittany, you know, what is the opposition saying here? Because I know that there's a group that is opposed to this, that are claiming that, you know, there are loopholes and that this is just nanny state, and that, you know, that we're trying to censor or pushing this off on the tech companies. And that it's really not their responsibility to monitor people's, you know, free choice, basically.
Which is just really laughable to me, because these same tech groups like NetChoice have opposed every single effort to protect children. They opposed our age verification law for pornography 2 years ago. It's the same groups that oppose that law that are opposing this law or this bill. And it is just... they have all the information already. They already could do these things, and they're choosing not to. We've been working, and our movement has been working or trying to work with these groups to get them to do this voluntarily for over a decade, and they won't do it. And this is the simplest, most privacy protecting way that we can give parents tools and help them actually have the information they need to make the decisions. This is not the app stores or the tech giants making these decisions. It is the parents. And the tech giants do not want to admit they have children on their apps, and they don't want to be liable for any of their actions. And it is far past time that they bear some responsibility for the ways that they are profiting off of children.
I mean, you know, and by the way, we're talking with Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice. I, as a general rule, I'm not a fan of government mandates and these, you know, broad type of legislation. But much like you mentioned the internet pornography bill, if you're having kids that are being exposed to apps that are not age appropriate, this would be a good way to help parents have control over what their children are being exposed to. And why are children getting access to apps that may be inappropriate for them?
You're right. We're talking about apps like Roblox. Roblox is opposing this bill because they know they have children on their apps that are being exposed to adult predators through their chat feature. And they don't want parents to know that. They want to continue to have children on those apps.
Or like so, Grindr, yeah. For example. Why would Grindr, I mean, you know, kids shouldn't be on Grindr. I'm not that familiar with it, but
absolutely not.
I'm familiar with it enough to know that's not really a platform where children under 13 should be.
Right. Right. And so it's not a platform that children under 18 should be on.
Right, yeah. Okay, good point.
The App Store bill, all it does, it doesn't block anyone from a particular app, but it makes sure parents have the actual information about what sort of ads their children will be exposed to, what sort of data is being collected on their child. It gives them that information and lets the parent make the decision. This bill is all about parental rights. It's all about giving them tools and empowering them. It's not about the government having control. It is creating a framework in which parents can glean accurate information and holding bad actors accountable. So it is, you know, the opponents keep coming up with these, I call them opaque, kind of transparent arguments that really don't have any real substance to them. And when you ask them to point out actual problems with the bill, they can't do it because their real concerns have nothing to do with the actual bill. They just don't want to be held accountable for what they've been doing for decades.
Okay, so that's where we're at. You've got this piece of legislation that is kind of in limbo. And again, it's called the App Store Accountability Act, Senate Bill 372. And it's currently sitting in the Kansas House Committee, Federal and State Affairs Committee. It right now, it had 11 yays and 11 nays, which is the only time the chairman votes is when this happens. The chairman voted in the nay, but it can be brought back up. Now, as I understand it, there's only 2 days left, Monday and Tuesday. So if folks are concerned, if they want this to pass, what do they need to do? They need to reach out and let their representatives, especially ones in Wichita, they need to let their representatives know they support this and make sure they vote yes to get this out of committee, correct?
Yes. Yes, slight correction. It was a vote to table the bill, so the chairman actually voted to yay to table the bill.
Okay, to table it. So it's tabled. It's not dead.
Yes, it's tabled. It's not dead. They can bring it back either Monday or Tuesday of this week, get it to the House floor, and get it done. And so I would encourage everyone listening to this to go to our website, KansasFamilyVoice.com, click on our Take Action page, and they can reach out to the legislators there. But especially in Wichita, we've got a couple legislators in Wichita that are, quote-unquote, have questions about the bill. But Representative Humphreys is leading the charge to get this bill across the finish line, as well as Representative Bob Lewis and Leah Howell have been strong supporters all the way through. So, you know, Wichita's a little bit split on this one, but we need people in Wichita to make sure that their legislators know that this is a very important bill, that it's effective, and that parents want these sort of tools.
Well, that I think folks know their, you know, what to do if they have concerns. They need to reach out to their representatives, and particularly, apparently, Representative Bergkamp here in Wichita. And if they're concerned about it, they need to reach out and make their voices heard. If folks are interested, again, what is your website? And they can reach out and get information from you at Kansas Family Voice.
It's KansasFamilyVoice.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for up-to-date updates.
Brittany, we appreciate you joining us, and thank you again for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
Coming up, Dan Murray from NFIB will tell us about a new report that shows that in February, 33% of small business owners reported job openings they couldn't fill. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers. And you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Dianaroga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Let me tell you about the next Day of Action with the great folks at Americans for Prosperity. It's coming up this Saturday. It's a great way to help mobilize grassroots activists for legislative advocacy. It's like I said, it's coming up this Saturday, the 21st. Get involved. You can do some door knocking or phone banking right here in Wichita and for that matter, all across Kansas. You can visit ks.americansforprosperity.org for more information. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. NFIB, that's the National Federation of Independent Businesses, they put out their February jobs report. It shows that the Small Business Employment Index ticked up nearly 1 point back in February. It also shows that 33% of small business owners reported job openings that they could not fill. As a small business owner myself, my wife and I are realize how important small businesses are to the lifeblood, not only of Kansas, but of our country. And really, it's so important that we highlight small businesses. With us now is Dan Murray. He's from NFIB. Dan, it's a pleasure to have you on the show with us, brother. Nice to have you back on again.
Thank you so much for having me, John. I appreciate it.
Dan, this NFIB report really emphasizes, I mean, the index is rising. It's well above the historical average. So that tells me that the current state of the labor market is pretty good, but it could be better. Am I right?
Well, so we have two conflicting things, John. The optimism index for small business owners is above our 52-year average. And so that optimism index is calculated based on our survey of small business owners based upon several components. But the vexing problem continues to be the ability for small business owners to find qualified candidates for job openings. We have really seen this persist throughout the past couple years, well, 6 years since COVID started. 33% of owners reported job openings they could not fill in February, and that's up 2 points from January. Of those, 54% of those owners reported hiring or trying to hire in February. 85% reported few or no qualified applicants for their open positions. So we have jobs to fill, but we just can't find qualified applicants to fill those slots.
So if they've got job openings they can't fill and unemployment is still relatively low, why are so many of these Main Street employers? And again, this is mom and pops. This isn't, you know, Spirit or Boeing, you know, that needs an engineer with 2 degrees. This is Main Street employers. Why are they still struggling to find workers?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, as you pointed out, small business is the backbone of the Kansas economy, of the nation's economy. We're 60-70% of the workforce collectively in Kansas. So if we are considered to be a employer writ large, we are the largest employer in Kansas.
Right, yes.
And so the challenge, though, is compensation, competition with larger employers. So small business owners are now in the business of working to increase their compensation and benefits to attract and retain those critical employees.
Got it. So it's not necessarily a skills gap problem. It's I'm not meeting the pay that, look, I can hire you to come work for my little small business, but the bigger going to work at Boeing pays better and has better benefits is really the issue then.
It has to be part of that, certainly. You know, small business owners, the largest issue that they've confronted for the last 50 years is the cost of health insurance.
Yeah.
And that trickles down to their ability to provide health insurance and other health benefits to employees. Couple that with compensation and you're really stretched thin competing with larger competitors for employment at larger retailers or manufacturers, as you pointed out.
Oh, I can relate to this. You know, as I said, my wife and I, we own a small business and have for going on 20 years now. And prior to, you know, coming on to the morning show, I mean, I've been doing this show for going on, goodness, Phil, am I coming up on 9 years now? Holy cow.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Doing the Sunday show. But prior to doing the morning show, I was a part-time employee at KNSS. Now I'm full-time. So, and Odyssey is, you know, massive. Odyssey is a massive corporation, but I didn't get benefits through Odyssey. So, and here's a little insider. You know, my wife and I were on Obamacare for years. We were on the exchange because as you know, as a small business, you don't get insurance. So you've got to be on the exchange. And you know, Dan, you know, small businesses, you don't get a lot. You don't get insurance unless you go on something like the exchange. And it's very difficult. And I can only imagine. So it's either a cultural or an economic factor affecting the workforce, not necessarily a skills gap problem, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. We, you know, of our membership, and we have nearly 4,000 small business owners that are members of NFIB in Kansas, 95% are 10 or fewer. And by that, I mean 10 or fewer employees.
Right.
And finding health coverage for a group that size
is entirely is nearly impossible. I was going to say entirely impossible, but it's not. So it's difficult. And so providing for the coverage of your employees and yourself as a small business owner yourself is a challenge in itself. And so compensation and benefits, attracting, retaining, training those employees is a challenge. And so that's a struggle right now for sure.
And we're talking with Dan Murray from the National Federation of Independent Businesses. Are small businesses owners becoming cautious about the economy right now? I mean, what are they seeing that might worry them? Are they that concerned about, for example, tariffs? Has that been that big of a factor, Dan?
It continues, I think, to inform their opinion on their optimism. But generally speaking, small business optimism is above our 52-year average. So they're remaining confident, particularly by the fact that they're seeing the appropriate amount of sales. Are they confident about certain aspects within the components that we've measured? No, but I think overall, small business owners are confident, and they were particularly following the reelection of President Trump, who brought in the notion that we would have lower regulations. You know, we haven't yet seen this year. We'll follow and track this with our members about the impact of the new tax cut bill that was passed this past year, the One Big Beautiful Bill, and see what kind of impact that has on their optimism. But generally speaking, they remain relatively optimistic in spite of some of the international and international issues that are going on with tariffs and the like.
If lawmakers, state or national for that matter, if they truly want to help small businesses grow, hire more workers, what are the few policy changes that would really make a big difference right now?
John, we've done some good things, I think, here in the state of Kansas with regard to income taxes last year. We continue to hear from our members about the challenges of property taxes.
Yeah.
I think that's what the majority of the legislature hears from their constituents. It's what our members are telling me. Unfortunately, there's only so many things the legislature can do at their level to affect that. A lot of that has to be done at the local level. We're certainly encouraging legislators to look and continue to work towards some property tax reforms at the state level. We've had some setbacks here and there over the course of the last week. We'll see where that goes. Legal reform is another issue that we're concerned about. We lost our cap on non-economic damages in 2019 due to the Supreme Court decision here in the state level that has increased liability concerns for small business owners. That's a big issue for small business owners who don't have in-house counsel. They don't have the resources to protect themselves against litigious trial attorneys. So we're looking at some things there as well. I think the things that are kind of boring are unemployment insurance. We've been working with the legislature on some reforms there this year, as we have in the past, to help with some of those technical changes to make that piece of their business operations more regulatorily easy and compliant. A lot of stuff on the table, and we have a couple weeks here yet to get some things done.
Well, and I know sales taxes, too. I remember during, Wichita just had their big billion-dollar sales tax debate here, and I know I talked to a lot of small businesses that were concerned about that because they're worried, every time these municipalities look at raising a sales tax, especially like auto dealers, things like that, they start thinking, well, people are going to take their business to an area that doesn't have sales taxes, and all these little things, it's a trickle-down effect, and I think people have to keep that in mind. Dan, if folks are interested, if they want to reach out, if they want more information, or for that matter, if they're a small business owner and they want to join, they can find out more information at nfib.com, correct?
That's correct. nfib.com/Kansas gets you a little more direct to what we've been working on. But NFIB.com is a great resource, John. And I'll tell you, we have both a legal center and a research center that does a lot of work in addition to our advocacy, both at the state and federal level.
Brother, I appreciate you as always. The survey was very informative. I've posted a link to that on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page as well. And you keep fighting a good fight, my friend.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, buddy. We'll take a quick break to pay a few bills. We've already had a bunch of calls. We had to put them off. So call back. And we'll take calls for the rest of the show. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And, of course, you can also find us on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And make sure you like and follow me on the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages. And find me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Don't forget, two events coming up this week, Thursday, 6:30, at the Wichita Area Builders Association is the monthly meeting of the Sedgwick County Republican Party. They're doing another one of their Zoom guests. Kelly Walker, who is the founder of Freedom Talk, will be their guest. The meeting starts at 6:30 with the doors open at 6:30. The meeting starts at 7:00. And then the following Thursday, the 26th, is their Republican Red Chocolate and Wine fundraiser. Should be a lot of fun. That's going to be really cool. A wine and chocolate. I have a sneaking suspicion my wife will be dragging me to that. So a couple of really cool events coming up here in the next week or so. Terry, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for sticking around.
Very pleased to do so. Good evening, John Whitmer. I had a similar subject content to Brittany Jones of Kansas Family Voice.
Yes. Uh huh.
Right. And she was encouraging people to, I guess, call and encourage the representative to vote for Bill 372.
Correct.
What it is real briefly is I just wondered if you heard or knew very much with your friends or just content that you've read, heard very much about Roblox out of San Mateo, California, and what it really is.
You say Roblox?
Roblox. Roblox. It's one word, but they're a gaming, online gaming company.
Yes.
But I didn't know if you were you familiar with them at all, because she mentioned the word Roblox when she spoke to you in the last half hour.
You know,
did you catch that?
I have heard. You know that it's not. So what I've heard, you know, it's rated T for teen. Although what I've heard is that over 40% of its users are under 13. It's frequently used by children as young as 5. And that is, you know, it's a lot of these products. That's the sad part is a lot of it is, you know, rated T for teen. The issue, look, here's really what a lot of this comes down to. It's parenting. You know, a product can be rated T for teen, but, you know, it comes down to parents. And if content is only as good as what parents allow the kids to be doing, and if you're not monitoring what your children are doing online or on a gaming platform, yes, obviously the child is whatever the child is doing, but at some point parents are abdicating their responsibility to a app provider or a game platform or whatever, then that's ultimately on the parent. And yeah, I mean, there are some potential risks for kids, particularly, you know, predators and grooming, and whether or not it's inappropriate content. I don't know. I'm not that familiar with this particular game, but for me, it comes down to parenting.
No, I agree with you 100%. Real quickly, it just features online gaming, but it reenacts some shootings that we've had here in America in public schools. Violent scenes are depicted and they're pictured on a site that, you know, I've seen, not that I've gone on it, but I've seen a gentleman by the name of, Schlepp, S-C-H-L-E-P.
Oh, Matt Schlapp, or?
No. He's a gentleman that got, unfortunately, on Roblox when he was younger.
Gotcha.
He got into some big trouble. But he just basically is saying that, unfortunately, at this point, the large tech companies and platforms are so far given immunity from lawsuits, and tech companies put profits, you know, over the safety
right.
of kids.
Well, Terry, you know, I appreciate the, you know, the information on it. And what I would recommend, I mean, there are some typical recommendations for parents, you know, don't set and forget your pins on these things, on your phones, on your apps. One of the things you can do is disable chat. You know, if you've got younger children, turn off the chat feature on these, on your devices. And of course, know your games. Ask your child to show you what they're playing. You know, stick to popular verified games. There are lots of things like that. And of course, educate yourself on privacy. Teach kids never to share their personal information, their name, their school, their location, or photos. And the other thing is, use public areas. You know, have children play in a common area of the home, not behind closed doors. You know, don't have them in their room with the door closed. Have them in the family room with the TV in public view, so that when you're in the kitchen, you can glance over and see what it is they're playing on their device or on the television, because that's the easiest way. Again, don't abdicate your responsibility as a parent to the app provider, because they're out for profit, you're out for your kids. That's ultimately what I would say. I mean, again, you know, it's not the app's responsibility to raise your kid, it's yours. We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear what you think. I know we've got Ray still on the line. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you, you can join Americans for Prosperity Kansas this Saturday for a focused day of action as they take their message on judicial selection reform directly to voters. Make your voice heard by visiting AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. Don't forget, Thursday, the next monthly meeting of the Sedgwick County GOP. Doors open at 6:30, and the meeting starts at 7 with Kelly Walker, founder of Freedom Talk. Ray, you're on the John Whitmer Show.
Yes, hello. You had a guest on the last hour that said that the money that collects, the state collects, goes straight to the schools.
The 20% property tax, the 20 mills, yeah, that's the,
yeah,
the portion of the mills that the state collects, 20 mills, that goes, it's basically just a pass-through, yes.
Okay, it's not a pass-through. Nothing the government does is a pass-through. We had to hire people to track that money. They tracked the money coming out of our pocket. They tracked it going to the state. They tracked it in the state. And then they were paid to track it to the schools around the state. Now, we're paying their wages. We're paying medical. We're paying retirement. There's no pass-through going on here.
Well, I think what he means is the equivalent amount that is taken in property tax gets passed back. So technically,
sure,
whatever they take, that same amount gets passed to the schools.
Yes, except that you and I paid a bunch of people
to administer it. Correct.
Yeah, to administer it.
And frankly, I think he's right. I think it should all be done. If you're going to do it, it should all be done at the local level. I don't think the state should be involved
exactly.
in any way.
You don't need a middleman in there.
I agree.
Yeah. It's just a waste of money. I mean, I appreciate the people that administrate stuff, but I mean, it's like having a bunch of
yep. And for that matter, the federal government, too. I mean, why is the federal government getting involved, too? Why are we sending it to D.C. just so they can turn around and you know, put some strings attached to it and send it back to us?
We send it to D.C. because we're too dang lazy to administer, take care of this stuff ourselves.
Yep.
The federal government is there at our pleasure.
Yep. It's all about control.
Given them. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
No, I completely agree with you, Ray. I completely agree with you. I appreciate the call, my friend. You know, he's spot on, but that's how they control us. I mean, you give them the money, and then if you want it back, they send it back to you with strings attached, of course. Nick, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for sticking around. Oh, I know. Nick, how are you, sir?
Good evening, John. Lovely. How are you, sir?
Fine, thank you. And I hope you had a happy, safe St. Patrick's Day. Oh, faith in Begara. I hope you.
Now you make me think of Andy Hoosier.
He's my fine friend. He's Nick Reinecker. Oh, he's my good friend Nick Reinecker. How are you, brother? On this great St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Wonderful, John. Wonderful. Hey, I actually had a serious question for you.
Okay, fire away.
So if a bill passes one chamber, can it then go to a conference committee, or does it have to be done something in the other chamber before it's conferenceable?
Well, technically, you know, in Topeka, there's a kind of a common understanding in Topeka, and that is sort of like there's Night of the Living Dead up there. Nothing ever dies in Topeka.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Regular order.
It has to pass. The easiest objection that someone can raise in Topeka is that a bill has never passed out of either chamber. So if it's never action, and I don't mean out of committee, it's got to have passed at least one chamber. So, really, it needs to have passed out of both chambers. But if it hasn't even been passed out of one chamber, it's really hard to be conferenceable.
Fair enough.
But that's the general rule, is it needs to have at least passed out of one chamber. Because the problem is, to be conferenceable, both the definition of a conference is you have both chambers have a position on a bill. So, you know, like we like it with this and with these, you know, with these amendments on it, and we like it with this. And then we come and we conference where we both have a position. Well, the problem is if it hasn't passed out of one chamber, then that chamber doesn't have a position to take. And so that's really what conferences are. So if it hasn't passed out of a chamber, then that chamber doesn't have a position to take. And so the easiest position for them to take is we haven't heard it. We will say no, and we don't want to discuss it, and it dies generally. Does that make sense for you?
Fair enough. It'll be interesting to see what happens to Senate Bill 497.
Which is that one?
I did enjoy the Controlled Substances Act bill for the year.
Yeah, I can tell you what's going to happen to that one.
I wanted to say thank you for your comment about parenting, and I'll need to get Brittany to maybe go out to lunch with me and talk about dumb phones and grow your own, but that's for another day, I guess. But
good John, luck with that one.
I enjoyed your show, and you have a good one. We'll talk to you later.
You're very welcome, and I hope you have a fine, go have a good fine green beer or something. Nick, he's always fun. All right, folks, we hope you had a great time. Thank you for joining us this evening. Have a great week. Carry on, fellow deplorables. And, of course, tune in tomorrow morning for Woodward and Wit. In the meantime, have a great week.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.